Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Well, good morning. If you just tuned in, I don't sound like Lynette Morgan. And
Look like her either.
No, I don't, fortunately. I'm happy about that. Pete Talbot here for the first time back in this chair. It's been, I think, since early June, and it's an honor. I got a text from Lynette saying she wanted to go to Hawaii.
Yes.
And she is there now, so I'm just filling in. Don't worry, she'll be back.
Next week.
She'll be back next week. And also, Dr. Umeb is not here today. She's taking, this is her second weekend in a row for a little vacay.
She's had 3 out of 4 weekends off.
Oh, my golly.
I envy her. Spoiled, I know. Spoiled. I spoil my people.
Generally. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But I think she'll be back next week too.
She'll be back next week.
But we've just had Dr. Dan Nelson with Pro Ortho again. For those of you who have been procrastinating, you're in pain for crying out loud. Do something about it. If you, the first step to solving a problem is defining the problem. And that means you need to call Dan Nelson. His number, 425-823-4000.
Now it's time to shift gears.
Here we go. Over to this guy.
That's right.
Oh,
right,
a fun shift.
That's right. And to the only guest on the show that I envy his voice.
Oh, get out.
You know, I'm told every day, oh, I've got a great voice. But yours is even greater, deeper.
Richer.
Oh, boy.
And you're taller. You just make me sick.
Oh, boy.
You know, anyway.
Well, I've enjoyed listening this morning because, do you remember back in medical school where, as you're sitting there, every day you go into a lecture and you start saying, wait, I have that. I have that too. I have that too. Oh my God, I've got this disease, right? So I'm listening this morning and saying, I think I need me a Vertiflex. I'm falling apart just like everyone else. And the only thing that's working well is the voice, and God knows what I'll have tomorrow. So,
Well, the Vertiflex did get rid of my numb toes, which was a big help.
Yeah.
But, I was telling this last caller that if his ankle gets better but it's not all the way, he can go and get second stem cells. I just had my second stem cells in my left hip.
Yeah.
Because I broke that hip 21 years ago glacier skiing, and I ended up with a little osteonecrosis, a little part of the head of that ball at the top of the hip. It died, and that resulted in some arthritic change.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan did stem cells back in February. And it got better, but not totally well. And so, my standards for my body, I want it totally well.
So many times during the day, I have to share with patients that I can't bring back the dead.
No, that's right. But they went
can't
in.
Bring and, back the dead.
But he went in and did a second stem cell about 10 days, 2 weeks ago. And now I got to wait 6 months to see how results I'll get from that one. But the first made it better. I'm hoping the second one makes it well.
Well, the whole point, though, that maybe our listeners don't understand, with stem cell, you have the hope of what traditional medicine would say is impossible, it's a miracle, have you. For example, with my low back, literally two main key hospitals and the top doctors with pain and all that sort of stuff. I said, there's nothing I could do with my back. I would just have to deal with pain management the rest of my life. And Dan said, oh, no, that's not true. And I'm pain-free. Literally 2-3 months later, I was pain-free.
Yeah.
And it's been 4 or 5 years. That hacks me off, but that's why I get so passionate, I guess.
And that's part of the reason now that we've got Dr. Gilbert here.
Yes.
Once more, we are looking for the cutting edge,
Whoa. The
people right out on the front.
Gosh, there's so much exciting in ophthalmology right now, from front to back of the eye.
So if you have eye issues for this next hour, give us a call.
This is the time to call us at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770.
And if for the rest of the human body, I'm sitting here trying to fill in what little I can.
That's right.
So
again, 800-465-8770. I made sort of a silly comment just reminding people this show is called Leading Edge Medicine. And I will say this now about you. You are sitting in the chair right now because you and Northwest Vision Institute are on the leading edge. And truly, anybody that comes to your clinic for an exam, for example, of any kind, knows it immediately. It's different. It's better. It's more advanced. I jokingly said on the radio recently, it's like Dr. McCoy in Star Trek compared to the typical eye exams that people have been used to over the years.
Don't you wish you had his tricorder, though?
Oh, my. Boy, wouldn't that be cool? I've got some cool stuff, but
no tricorder.
I'm looking for the tricorder.
One of your patients says her old ophthalmologist was like old school. Compared to what you do, it's so different. You do so many different, more advanced testing than the traditional eye exam. So why you're in the chair today.
It's it has never been my goal to stand out. It's just my it's my makeup. What makes this practice of medicine exciting is that it's changing so rapidly. Mm-hmm. The cutting edge is what's exciting about it. I had one of my scribes who works with me, day after day after day after year, says, you know, it's interesting. You never treat the same disease identically 6 months later. It keeps changing.
Yeah. That's
well, the science changes.
Yes.
And if the science changes, ought we not change with it?
Yes.
And so I go to meetings, much as you do. I go to meetings every year, multiple meetings every year, mm-hmm. nationally, internationally, because you learn nuances from others. And sometimes it's in presentations, and sometimes it's just in the chat.
Usually it's in
the
chat. Usually it's when you buttonhole them after the talk and you're visiting.
By the time it reaches print, it's old news. And
it is. It is. And, you know, that's the one thing I love about my own job is that, you know, I spend 3 to 5 hours a day just reading medical literature. And when I find really interesting stuff that's been published, I know that this guy, what he's published, he did 2 years ago.
Yes.
And by the time he submitted it to the journal and then they sent it out for peer review and then it came back and then it got reviewed and then it came back and then finally it got published so I could read it, he's been working on newer stuff for the last 2 years. So when I see that article that I really like, I send emails, I make phone calls,
yeah.
and I try to wrangle a visit to his lab.
Yeah.
Because what I really want to know is, this was great. What have you done in the last 2 years?
2 years.
Yeah.
I have done so many publications and some book chapters and things like that. And that timeline for publication back and forth
yeah.
and review and updates and
yeah. And so, you know, I love knowing stuff before my colleagues do. and the only way to really find it out is to go to the researcher's lab
right.
and see what they're doing.
Say, what are you doing now?
Yeah. And I know what you said in the journal, but how much of that was walked back because of the peer review process? What do you really think about your data?
And again, right. This is why we call the show Leading Edge Medicine. And another aspect to this, this hit me just a few weeks ago when I was at your office. You invited me over for a quick lunch. And it hit me. Your exam, which you call an advanced ocular exam, is truly that. It is advanced. It is so much, it's different than the typical eye exam. You know, people, how important it is, especially age 50. I've heard you enough times here on this show. By age 50, people need to be having exams, eye exams, at least once a year. Because things...
And the reason for that is, although eye disease can happen at any age, the curve starts to go up geometrically at about age 50. Cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetic retinopathy.
Macular degeneration.
And things, the diagnoses like macular degeneration and diabetic retinopathy don't speak to you until it's too late.
Yeah.
Which is to say, if you wait for symptoms, there's permanent change that cannot be reversed. Whereas if you can pick up those subtle changes early before there are any symptoms, oftentimes you can change that curve. Whether it's macular degeneration, there are some nutritional changes, things like that, that can be done. And new studies on that even this year. And diabetic retinopathy often is the first that the patient has any idea they have diabetes.
Yeah.
So, I was in for my eye exam about 3-4 months ago, and it just really hit me how unique that exam is. It truly is advanced. What's different about it? What are the extra things you do that they don't get at other clinics?
Well, again, I have never sought to say, if I put in this trick thing here, then I can declare that I have.
No, you're doing it because you need the information.
But I can tell you there are some imaging technologies that most don't use. And one of them allows me to show patients. Nothing speaks to patients. You know, a picture is worth a thousand, right? Mm-hmm. And so if I can show someone where they are, and they don't even think it's pathology yet. They didn't know they had a problem. But if I can show them what's going on with their eyes, and explain how their symptoms correlate with structure and function, show them how their symptoms correlate with what I'm seeing, show them what I'm seeing, and then I've got pictures on the walls of normal. I say, you know, you don't quite look like normal, and that explains your symptoms. And the biggest shock is sometimes those patients are in their 20s, 30s, and they say, you know, I just need a drop, right? No, you have some permanent changes that if you don't change how you interface with your current lifestyle, that permanent change will continue.
And a lot of those young people are having glandular issues because of their computers.
It's exactly
right.
They spend too much
time on screen.
Oh, the screen time. Screen time has an amazing impact on the human body, especially the eyes. The tear system, they're also, so permanent changes, permanent loss to the tear system, mm-hmm, can accrue from the intensity of our work on screen time. It's also, you know, even just during the pandemic, we're seeing an increase in nearsightedness statistically. I listen to, right now there's one of the, you know, the largest international meeting in ophthalmology, first time live meeting for a couple of years, is going on right this weekend. And so I'm doing virtual, so I can be with you. But I did virtual, and one of the lectures last night was talking about the fact, and I've mentioned this on air before, but the fact that 100 years ago, nearsightedness was a genetic issue.
Yeah.
Nearsighted parents, you're going to have nearsighted kids. You can moderate that. You can laser it later, all kinds of things. But today it's not. Today it's a lifestyle issue. kids spend so much screen time, especially their cell phones, and that increases, statistically increases their myopic progression and overwhelms any genetic. Now, if you have genetic myopia and you're heavy on screens and you spend more time indoors, because there's a correlation between indoors versus outdoors, outdoors for progression of myopia. Those are powerful. Now, I have to confess, 30 years ago, and especially when I had my kids, I had the notion, yeah, you can do these things, but I can always, as a LASIK surgeon, I can just laser it away later. So if it's not easy, why would I put my kids through that? But it is wrong-headed. As much as I love to fix nearsightedness, and we do that all the time, all day long, every week, but as much as I love to fix it out the backside, it's important to prevent it. So if you've got kids, it's important to have that assessed, because today there are a number of technologies. There are drops. There are also soft contact lenses, and then there are contact lenses that can be worn at night, all of which statistically decrease the progression of nearsightedness up to 70%. Why is that important? Well, if you can avoid that nearsightedness, it's not just the nearsightedness. It's the pathology that comes with it. Because that progression of nearsightedness that comes from those kids living indoors instead of playing ball outdoors and focusing so much on their screen time, that nearsightedness that they are driving also puts them at increased risk for lifelong glaucoma, lifelong retinopathy related to high nearsightedness. So it's an eye health, long-term eye health issue as well.
Well, you're doing testing. I noticed in my exam a few months ago that you had never done before. And I know my son, who's in his 40s, you found some things that other eye exams would not have discovered. I can't remember.
Meibomian
glands.
Well,
that's a big deal, and you now test for those.
It is a big deal because the number one reason that patients come to see me are red, irritated eyes or fluctuations in vision or eye fatigue, and all of them, most recent studies show that they correlate. 90% of those patients have damage or at least degeneration of that particular system. That is the primary tear system that's responsible for comfort of the eyes and stability of your vision. And unfortunately, it is damaged by intensely working on computers. Even patients who will come in and say, no, 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 I don't have dry eyes. My eyes water. My eyes tear. Well, that just says it's gotten so bad that the secondary system, the backup system, the same tear system that's triggered when you're peeling an onion or you get sand in your eye, is being triggered because of this degree of your dryness. So it just means we even have to step in and turn that around. And fortunately, we have the ability to image that system and understand what's going on.
And
with
that's
it.
Part of what you call
typically
the
that's right.
advanced
ocular analysis.
Okay, advanced ocular analysis. Okay.
That's right.
Exam. Now, do you charge more for that?
No, it's the way we do exams.
Okay, but they don't get that other places.
In fact, well, I don't like to speak of my colleagues.
Okay,
I don't understand why it's not, but oftentimes it is not. I regret.
Well, again, this is why we're so eager. We tell our patients at Longevity about you. Jerry and I obviously are patients and our families and our friends and what have you, because being on the leading edge, especially with your eyes, I mean, come on, folks. And you can get the advanced ocular analysis or exam at Northwest Vision Institute. And let me just give out that number here because it's memorable and you need to call it 425-450-2020. 425-450-2020. But I want to take some calls here. I'm almost embarrassed. We've kept John from Vancouver on the line so long. John, I understand you have a supplement question and an eye question as well. Welcome to the show.
I do. Thank you very much, and I hope you guys, you veterans, got a lot of thank yous here on Thursday. I know Dr. Mixon was a veteran. I don't know about you other guys. My first question is on a supplement, and it was suggested to me to take that so it would help zinc get into my system better. It's spelled Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N.
Quercetin. Right. 500 milligrams of quercetin is kind of the base we use for most of our patients. Yeah.
Do you have that in your store?
Yep, we certainly do.
I think, isn't the quercetin, the longevity quercetin, 800 milligrams?
I forget how much it is. Well, but I use a quercetin.
I know what.
I use quercetin every night at bedtime. It's in my little evening pack. So.
Okay, I had three questions. The second one was I've been diagnosed as having trigger finger. And the nurse that did it by FaceTime said that, you've got a tendon problem there with your salute to Joe Biden finger.
All right. And,
Oh, my goodness. Careful. Don't get him started.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just flew down to Hollywood this past week. I was down there Wednesday and Thursday. And I wore my Let's Go Brandon mask. I have a red, white, and blue mask that says in large, bold letters, "Let's Go Brandon." I got more compliments on my mask, even in Hollywood. So, anyway.
I would ask you where you bought it, but I'd waste your time. My second question is for your ophthalmologist, sir.
Good morning, John.
Macular degeneration, the wet kind. I've been lasered about 7 times in my right eye and 5 or 6 times in my left eye to arrest the fluid flow. I was going to be part of a study to put stem cells to replace the holes that the laser caused. And I was hoping that you had some recent information on that. That study just bombed out after about the first 3 people. And I was about 7th in line for them to try it on me, so I didn't get it tried. But it didn't work.
Unfortunately, the studies in that have not really borne any fruit. And I think it's fairly easy to understand why it's a very challenging situation for stem cells in the retina. It's one thing to build new cells. It's another thing for them to rewire in the perfect way to get that information back to the brain. Because not only do we have to replace the retinal cells that replace, to receive the light impulses, but then you have to get them connected to the wiring in exactly the right way to feed the brain. That portion of the brain that's responsible for vision is in the back part of the brain. The normal course for that is to go from the retina through the optic nerve, cross over to the other side, go all the way back and plug into that complex area. And I tend to think of it as like a television studio where you've got a camera, all the wiring back to the control room, and then the computers that put it all together. So unfortunately, unless we can ultimately figure out a way not only to replace the receptor, that camera, up front, that's the macular degeneration part, but rewire it, that's where we're having the biggest challenge is both step one and step two. Without both steps, you really aren't able to do it. That's why some research is working at trying to bypass the wiring and put the image directly, have external cameras and then directly send the impulse into the visual centers in the brain. So there's a lot of work on this, but I have to say I don't see this being a perfect place for stem cell yet. We'll get there, but I'm not certain it happens in my lifetime.
No, neither am I. You know, I'm a big booster of stem cell therapies just because the research is fabulous.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the latest ways to use them are things we can't do in America. our politicians and our FDA are in the way of the research. But I agree that probably you're out another 20 years before we can really do a whole lot for regrowing that damaged retina.
It'll happen.
Sooner or later.
I just don't see it in my lifetime. My son is a young ophthalmologist. Might happen in his.
Let's hope.
Yeah, and he's a retina specialist. So,
with that, John, we're glad you called. Thank you much. Appreciate the call and the questions.
Thank you very much.
Let us go into Seattle and talk to Ray. Ray, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Oh, hey, good morning, everyone. Hey,
good morning.
I have a friend for a question for a friend of mine. She said she had her cataracts done, and she went in and got them checked, and they said there's some kind of cells growing on the back of them, and they need to do a polishing on them. And I was wondering what that was all about.
Well, there are some possibilities, but at about the 95%+ likelihood level, it's not an issue with the implant. A high percentage of patients after any implant surgery will have a clouding of the membrane. Normal, healthy, absolutely expected to be there. Normal membrane that lives between the implant and the retina. That membrane can lose some of its clarity. If it does, it's just lasered away. And if it doesn't, then, and it's crystal clear, there's no reason to do anything about it. But this is not a complication. It's not a problem. Happens in, you know, maybe depending on what study, I'm going to say it happens about 40% of the time. The reality is it depends on what implant technology, how sensitive, not the occurrence, but how sensitive you are to it. But if you happen to have some degradation in vision after implant surgery, whether months or years later, averages within the first 2 years. If you don't have it within the first 2 years, it's less likely. But the number one, the first symptom is often some glare, so increased glare with oncoming headlights. Around here, night driving starts about 3 o'clock in the afternoon this time of year, so you may notice more glare driving in the winter, that kind of thing. But the laser that treats it takes me on average about 15, 20 seconds. There are no drops afterwards, no restrictions afterwards. You don't go back into the surgery suite. You sit down to a laser that looks just like a normal exam microscope, and there are no nerves in that membrane, so there's nothing to feel. Could not be quicker or easier. Statistical risk is very low. And if it's affecting your vision, I have never seen it not covered by insurance.
So this is different than the PCO, where they use the YAG light laser, where they poke little holes in the back of your lens?
I think it's almost certainly PCO. If you're talking about cells that are actually on the implant, that would be rare.
Yeah, that's what she said, that they needed to check in about 3 months because they noticed some cell growth there, and then they said they would polish it. And so I kind of looked it up, and I came across an article.
You remember I said at 95%+ likelihood, and what I said is that, and it is abbreviated PCO for posterior capsule opacity, okay? It is possible for someone who has low-grade inflammation in the eye for inflammatory cells to settle onto ocular structures, including that new implant. And so you can use anti-inflammatory drops to help stabilize it. But if you're left with some inflammatory cells on the implant, and in that rare situation, you can use that same YAG laser. But instead of in opening the membrane, you use it on a very low power to kind of dust off those cells, which is really fun to do, by the way.
Okay, so it isn't the more severe one where you have to poke little holes into it.
I don't think of that as severe at all, but the laser is used to open that membrane. It can also be used to dust off cells that might have accumulated on the implant. But as I said, that would be extremely uncommon. I do that maybe a couple times a year, whereas I do hundreds of the posterior capsule lasers.
Okay. Well, great. Do I have time for a question for Dr. Mixon?
Sure.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I'm just sitting here dozing.
You're talking about this person with AFib and a pacemaker, and I've had both. I got a pacemaker, and I don't have persistent AFib, but every now and then it goes into it. And you said that she was on this blood thinner, and you said that was the one that you thought you agreed with.
Yeah. Eloquence.
Why is it that your relief factor would be a problem with that Lofosan or whatever it was?
Well, the problem with relief factor, actually, at lower doses, there's no data that shows that it interferes. It's just that some cardiologists don't want people on essentially any supplement. But omega-3, for instance, omega-3 fats decrease clotting a little bit. And for those of us that are healthy, decreasing the blood clots is a good thing. Resveratrol, which is present in the skins of most colored vegetables, again, inhibits platelet function a little bit. And so does curcumin, which is in curries and stuff. So in 1 and 2 packets a day, I've never seen anybody have a clotting problem. But if your cardiologist is saying, stay away from all supplements, I tell people, then go ahead and stay away from all supplements. I'm not going to argue with the cardiologist. He's the expert, and he's made a decision for that patient. But, generally, at 2 packets a day, you're getting less of these than you would get from a healthy diet with having some salmon and having a curry a few times a week. You're going to get more of those chemicals in salmon and curry than you're going to get from the relief factor.
And with that, Ray, thank you much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. That opens up a line if you've got a question for either Dr. Mixon or right here, Dr. Michael Gilbert with Northwest Vision Institute. Call us at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. And we'll be back again with Dr. Michael Gilbert in about 2 minutes is all.
After I started on Dr. Mixon's program, your energy level just booms and the mood leveling out was so important. Your quality of life just is transformed. I am so grateful to Longevity and Dr. Mixon's program.
Sitting in for Lynette Morgan, who is in Hawaii, but she'll be back next week.
You know where I told her to go?
Where?
Instead of Hawaii.
Where?
Told her to go to the Northern Mariana Islands.
Oh, okay.
Because there's no COVID at all. Zero case counts for the last 14 days.
Oh, my golly. Well, she's in Hawaii, and she sent me a picture from the airplane. She was masked up with her husband, and she said aloha, but she's there having a good time. And she will be back. Don't worry.
She will be back next week.
She'll be back next Saturday, as will Dr. Umat. You just heard that little testimonial about a very happy patient at Longevity Medical Clinic. And I just want you to know, folks, that the free health analysis appointment, I think, was one of the smartest things we ever did, Jerry, about 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And
it works quite nicely. It gives people an introduction to what we do and how we do it and
that's
why.
Right.
And it lets them get a couple of basic tests to see what the degree of general risk they are at for problems such as cognitive decline and diabetes and osteoarthritis and heart attacks and strokes, et cetera.
That's right.
But then if it turns out they have significant risk, then we want them to go ahead and do a much larger panel of laboratory tests that will let us narrow things down a whole lot more. And
that's
then
right.
Let us sit down with one of our doctors for an hour and see what it's really going to take to where to find out how to get them where they really want to go.
That's right. And as Jerry just said, the free health analysis appointment, you get two free tests, a blood test and then the special in-body test together. It's just amazing. It'll help you determine if you have some basic health concerns that you need to deal with. And the whole process is free, and we even give you $100 of free longevity supplements just for coming in for that. It's a complete no-brainer. Really, it is. And I hope you'll call or you'll simply go online. I think about 90-95% of the people make their free health analysis appointment by going to our website, lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. And it's easy to do. It'll take you about 2 minutes, and boom. And again, you get the $100 of free longevity supplements. So really, don't procrastinate any longer. I promise you'll be glad. In fact, a lot of husbands and wives come in and do them back to back. So do that with your loved one or spouse or mate or what have you. Again, lmclinic.com. We do have my ophthalmologist and Jerry's ophthalmologist, my wife, let me think down the line, my family, my sons, my neighbors, what have you. Again, we're talking, you do an exam. This is just one of many things that set you apart. It's a advanced ocular analysis. I've been calling it an advanced ocular exam. But it's just something that you only get at Northwest Vision Institute, and it is worth calling and taking advantage of that. Let's take another call. You ready for some more interaction?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Enumclaw and talk with Ted. Ted, welcome to the show.
Morning, Ted.
Hello, hey. Ted.
How you doing? Can you hear me?
We hear you just fine.
Okay, so I'm 63. I've got, in the last year, I'm getting a fogginess. Can you hear?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Anyway, I'm getting a fogginess in my eyes, and it's around the perimeter a little bit more. And then one other weird thing is at night, if I'm outside with my animals and stuff, I'll see out of the corner of my eye a little black ghost. You know, I think it's the cat, and it's not. But the fogginess is kind of getting worse, and it's almost like it's a film because I can blink it, and it kind of gets better sometimes. And I've been to three doctors, spent, I don't know, $500, and gotten nothing.
So it sounds like this fluctuates if it changes with your blink. Is that correct?
Yeah, but it's when I blink. It's like I got a film, and I blink, and it kind of gets better, you know?
Right. So, you know, what Pete has been talking about as I squirm in my chair just a little bit has been talking about our advanced ocular analysis. But part of that, one of the things that many of my colleagues, or I think the majority, don't really spend much time in is looking at reasons for fluctuation in vision. That really point directly to that gland system that we were talking about. The meibomian gland system is the number one reason for fluctuations in vision, fatigue, people who can read for a while but can't read very long, patients who, like you, are able to blink some vision back but it doesn't last very long. Usually, number one thing to look at is degradation of that gland system. And sometimes that's easy to wake it back up, and sometimes it can mean a degree of permanent loss. So that's really an important thing to look at. Now, if you tell me, no, they've looked at my meibomian gland system and it's perfect, then we have to work on other things. And so as we move further back in the eye, something that can cause fluctuations would be related to the clarity of the of the vitreous gel. And as we age, it's has some degenerative changes. You can get floaters, or you can have some general degeneration of that gel so that it ends up with a little bit of fog that can float in and out of vision. But that probably would not change when you blink. So again, the most likely by far is an anterior surface change. Do you have you had cataract surgery?
No.
So as cataracts progress, and just by the sound of your voice, it sounds like you could be in the range where you have at least some cataract change. As cataracts progress, they progress so slowly that we tend not to notice that that's happening. But it leads to you reflexively working a little harder to see. As you do that, you blink less, which makes the dryness worse. So they end up magnifying each other in terms of the symptoms. So I think if...
Would the doctors be able to see that I have cataracts? They don't have cataracts.
You know, honestly, I'd be glad to look at you. The likelihood that at your age you have no lens opacity is extremely, would be extremely surprising. And then you need to sell the secret. The other thing of that is, so maybe you don't have a cataract of a degree that it is insurance, commercially removable and billable. But to think that you have no degradation in the natural lens, age-related, that wouldn't explain some degradation in the quality of your vision is naive. Just normal, you know, there are stages of that lens aging, and there's, you are in undoubtedly the stage that's called dysfunctional lens syndrome, where the lens doesn't function as it usually used to. It's not as clear as it used to be, but it's before what the insurance would call a cataract. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to have surgery, but it does mean you need to understand why your vision isn't quite as good as it used to be. So number one, we want to check that part of the system. But number two, the fluctuation, an enormously high percentage of those patients would have changes in the meibomian gland system because it's responsible for the quality and stability of your vision and your comfort. It's released when you blink, which is exactly why it fits with your symptoms. The problem is, when you blink, you're not generating as much, either in quality or quantity, as much tears as you used to when you were a kid. So the real question is, how can we restore that? And that depends on what's, if there's any permanent damage and what needs to be done to get that system back functional.
Okay, so I should go to a fourth place to have them try and figure it out.
I regret. I can tell you, honestly, that I have so many people who say, why haven't my prior eye doctors told me about this? And I don't have a good answer for that one.
Well, I have one.
Well, I have Pete always answer. Makes me feel uncomfortable when he gives his answer.
That's right.
I always squirm a little bit in the chair when Pete starts talking because I do not walk on water. I can barely wade through it.
Well, the truth is there are average ophthalmologists and there are excellent leading-edge ophthalmologists. That is true in every profession. And the reason we have you here and the reason, Dr. Mixon, you called the show Leading Edge Medicine is because we've decided and he decided that leading-edge medicine is what's best for patients. And so that's why I get excited. Truly, the advanced ocular analysis that you do at Northwest Vision Institute, they can't get elsewhere, or generally 99 out of 100 times they don't get it. And you don't charge more for it because you need that information to do a good job. So, in your opinion, a leading-edge job. So let me just say this, Ted and anybody else listening, it's worth going to Bellevue. Ted, I think you're in Enumclaw, but that's not that far away. The phone number for Dr. Michael Gilbert at Northwest Vision Institute is 425-450-2020. 425-450-2020. And even online, it's nwvision.com.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
nwvision.com. So go there, check out all the background and education and see what I'm talking about. I think you'll agree it's worth going there. But the phone number, again, make your appointment, is 425-450-2020. So thanks for your call. We've got to go to a little break right now. And when we come back, we will talk with Glenn and Barbara. They've got questions for you, Dr. Gilbert. In fact, I think if Gordon is still there, we'll take a call from Gordon. He's in Monroe. He's been waiting a long time. He has a blood pressure question, but that can even affect your eyes.
Oh, my, yes.
So
oh.
We'll sort of take it all there. All right. We'll be back. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine.
My husband and I are, as you said, just right on schedule for falling apart in a very timely manner. So I do thank you for all your advice on the radio.
Hey, hey, Paula, I want to marry you. Hey, hey, Paula, no one else could ever do. I've waited so long for school.
First slow dance I ever danced with a girl.
You romantic, you.
I was in eighth grade, and quite meaningful to me. Quite meaningful. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot, and yes, I don't worry. I'm only sitting in. You will get Lynette Morgan back next Saturday, but it's fun to be here, especially with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Michael Gilbert.
Pete walked in this morning, and I had to welcome him home.
Yeah.
This has been his home for a long time.
So. And it is good.
Some 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we started the show 1990.
Yeah, 1999. So
that's
22
right.
years ago, we started doing a radio show together. Yeah.
And that's incredible.
Yeah, it is. But it is fun to be back. Fun.
I've told him that retiring... leaving us was the most foolish thing I've ever heard of, but oh well.
Well, I didn't quite retire. I am keeping busy with the Talbot Group like never before, so I'm not bored. I am not bored. So with that in mind, however, we've got Dr. Michael Gilbert. We've got if you've got a question for him. I think we've got two questions that may do it here. Let's just go to Olympia right now and talk with Glenn. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Hello, Glenn.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. Crap. About 4 days ago at work, my right eye, I started developing double vision. I can close one eye and I'm looking at you, and then I can open the other eye, and I'm looking 2 feet beside you.
So, you've said it in two ways that
had me. That I had Bell's palsy about 10 to 15 years ago.
I need to clarify one thing. You said that you identified your right eye. Does that mean if you close your left, do you have any of the doubling with you, just your right eye open? Or is it only when both eyes are open?
Only when both eyes are open.
Okay. So that's a very important difference, because if it happens when only one eye is open, it can be subtle changes in the ocular system that can cause some doubling of the vision. It can be simple as dry eyes. It can be lens-related. There are a number of things that can do that. But if it's only when both eyes are open, disappears, close the right, disappears, close the left, both eyes open, you have doubling, then it has to do with one of the muscles, one or more of the muscles. And it turns out that each eye has 6 muscles that have to work together. So that's a dozen micro muscles controlling the orientation of the image that's coming into the brain. And those 12 muscles have to be in absolutely perfect alignment every waking moment, or you see double. Any weakness in those muscles. So it can be. So some people have this when associated with fatigue, and it can be just a very small doubling, in which case just some glasses can fix it. If it's a large amount of doubling that persists, it'd be pretty important to get that checked out. Because it can reflect, it's usually neurologic, and so you want to see is that, can be related to diabetes. Diabetes can affect the innervation of those muscles. So definitely that's worth getting checked out fairly soon.
You know, if he were a kid, I'd be less concerned, but he makes me a little nervous when I hear
his
story just because of his age.
Right, you know, absolutely.
Something more significant. And he's had a Bell's palsy, so he's had a neurologic issue before.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you're going to need a good ophthalmologist and a good neurologist involved.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, honestly, I don't want to diminish it. I think most likely it's going to end up being minor, and you'll get some glasses that will have some correction to it. But don't dismiss it to that, because it certainly is, it very likely could have some other implications. So don't take it for granted at all.
You know, in medicine, in medicine, you've had a headache?
On that side of my skull.
Okay. Hmm. You know, in medicine, we have to look at two things. What is the most common thing? And by definition, that's what it's most likely to be. But the other thing we always have to think about is what is the worst thing it could be, all right? And we always want to look for the bad. It makes us doctors a little paranoid because the most common thing is not always, it's most commonly. But once in a while, the bad stuff is there. And if you don't look for the bad stuff, that's where people get burned. So
I was wondering if you can get some kind of an eye infection on one side.
This would not be an infection. It can be a muscle on just one side, and you're usually the neurologic source, but it would be one of the muscles that's not getting the normal nerve impulses. But infection doesn't do this.
Infections don't do this?
No. And as I say it, I squirm a little bit. Is it possible that you could have a particular infection? Well, but it would be intracranial and so we're talking about, as we say in medicine, zebras. So almost certainly this is not an infection. Now, if you have other symptoms, maybe we've got an infection too, but almost certainly your double vision is not related to an infection.
It
could be related to your Bell's palsy, not infection.
Yeah, it feels a little bit sore behind my eyeball. And the thing is, I haven't been hit or struck or fallen down or nothing. It just developed out of the blue.
Well, I think now you have a list of things, all of which need to be looked at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I still don't hear anything that makes me think of infection.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call,
sir. I was wondering, should I just wait 4 or 5 days?
No.
If this gets better?
Please don't.
I don't view this as an emergency, but depending. If you have constant double vision and it's severe, then I think you go to the ER. I think if you have this occasionally, I get a little bit of doubling, especially with some fatigue, then I would call and make that appointment on Monday.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call.
Let's go to Gordon in Monroe. Gordon, again, my apologies for keeping you so long. Welcome to the show.
No, my pleasure. Listening to the dulcet tones of that incredible doctor who could so much walk above water and concentrate with the frolicking behind him a few minutes ago. So, you guys. Vlad is an eye surgeon who can concentrate, and I'm honored to speak to you guys. Dr. Mixon, thanks for your story last week. Inspiring about the veteran. Thank you for your guys' service.
You're welcome, sir.
Anyway, my also, Pete, for saying unfreaking believable, took away all of my worries of the week and having
your voice was special.
Well, that's nice of you to say.
Gosh, slathered with compliments all around the table.
Gosh, he needs to borrow money.
So I like this guy. Can we get him on more often,
no,
please?
He probably wants to borrow money.
How can we help, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, we've only got 2 minutes, by the way, now. Real quick.
Dude, you just take care of me super quick. It's actually not really a blood pressure question. I've had right side issues with walking, and I do have diabetes. I do have to get in for my test. Thank you, for Dr. Gilbert, for that. And my issue is the other day, a week ago, I was squeezed really, really hard by one of those machine blood pressure cuffs, and it was way too small and everything. And is there any science behind that having caused like a mini stroke or any goopy stuff like that? I know I have goopy questions.
Blood pressure cuff should not trigger a TIA, transient ischemic attack, which is what we usually actually refer to the mini strokes.
It was, I know it was so extremely tight, and I guess it's something else then. It's just one of them things. It was just like, wanted to peel it off, and the gal was like so tough and scared the poop out of me. So, anyway.
Okay. Well, yeah, you got to watch it with those progressive nurses. They'll scare the heck out of you. But,
hey, by the way, you said Dr. Umat was going to Dallas, and you got kind of whiny about that. And then you said you went to Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Well, she went to Dallas. I had to go to Hollywood for some business meetings. So,
well,
yeah,
I'm afraid we've got to go, Gordon. My apologies. We got to go. But a special thanks to Dr. Michael Gilbert. And, folks, if you want to hear him for the next hour, join us on our next show. We're on another station. But I hope you can find us. If you want an appointment, which you should, at Northwest Vision Institute, call them right away. 425-450-2020. That's 425-450-2020. Or check it all out at nwvision.com. nwvision.com. And have a wonderful rest of your weekend.